The floor beneath his knees was covered in rugs of all sizes, shapes, and colors. They were strewed upon the floor in haphazard fashion, overlapping in a scattering of patterns. Doc had the impression that a series of new rugs were brought in on a daily basis and slapped down wherever, covering the older, soiled ones. He turned and addressed his reflection in one of the long mirrors. He didn't have to look far to see himself, since the mirrors were indeed mounted all around him. He finished his earlier scene.
Last scene of all that ends this strange, eventful history is second childishness and mere oblivion. Sans teeth, sans eyes, sans taste, sans everything.
So, you're the one I've been hearing about. What secret you got to tell me, old man, before we chill your sorry ass?
Memories of the quickly fought but intense battle back at the hospital in Carolina were still fresh in Dean's mind.
At least this maze of stairs is lit.
The stairs were made from the same sturdy vanadium steel as the walls, with dark rubber strips on the top of each step for added safety and traction. All in the group had noted the dizzying array of scratches and claw marks left behind in the rubber.
The old one. She told me I would have to stride bravely into the bowels of hell to face my quarry. I now know she was correct. I visited a seer. She predicted victory for us all, my friends.
If you've been down to hell once, you've been there a dozen times.
A journey into one of the redoubts was nothing new or exciting, and the only difference offered up by this one was the possible presence of the murderous mutated chupacabras. As if conjured by his thoughts, a hissing noise came from a source near the rear of the group.
Company.
Ryan whirled and quickly spotted the lurking presence of a single chupacabras at the wide bend where the stairs turned to wind their way up another level. The large, unreadable eyes of the creature peered down at them impassively, as if the goatsucker were waiting for them to make the first move. Unlike the one that had landed on Ryan, this chupacabras was at least 2 feet taller and much more muscular. Dean decided to himself that he'd prefer to stick with the younger muties if given a choice in the matter.
Wonder what he wants.
Hungry? Maybe we snack.
We're on his turf. Must have come in behind us somehow. Or perhaps he's angry that we chilled his little buddy.
He can stick around and be curious all he wants, as long as...
Ryan didn't get to finish his sentence as the hissing creature decided to attack, swooping down in a half-gliding, half-falling motion and landing close to the waiting group. The spines on the monster's back undulated, and the unearthly rainbow wash of colors Soto and Jorge had previously mentioned radiated outward in jagged beams of light.
He's trying to hypnotize us!
Too late.
Ryan fired a single burst from his pistol. Despite the baffled silencer, the noise of the shot was distinctly audible in the confines of the stairwell. The 9mm bullet launched from the powerful blaster hit the squatty creature in the throat and careened up through its neck. The high-velocity impact lifted the 4-foot-tall mutie off his feet and hindquarters, raising him until his powerful legs came crashing down, kicking and flailing for balance. The head of the chupacabras then lolled back and forth in a half-circle on its thick neck, before coming to rest awkwardly on a scrawny shoulder. Then the entire corpse tumbled down to a resting place on a level floor landing of the stairwell. Ryan had watched impassively as the sack of dead guts flipped past his combat boots.
Wonder how the bastard thing got behind us. I've had more than enough surprises come slinking up from the rear.
Perhaps he followed us from outside the cave door, back from another part of the forest of El Yunque.
Knew we should have locked the damn door behind us.
Well, I don't know how it snuck up on us, lover, but I can tell you something else. The way my head's been ringing since we set foot in this redoubt, the one you just chilled isn't traveling alone. This place is as cold spiritually as they come. I went through a graveyard after dark on a dare once back in Harmony when I was a little girl. Picked a night with no moon. Halfway in the boneyard, the whole world seemed to go quiet. This place gives off the same kind of feeling.
In other words, we shall get out of this redoubt.
Ready. Go back locked all.
You scared?
Hell no. You?
Not with Dad here.
Appreciate the confidence, but there's nothing wrong with a little caution, Dean. A man who isn't a bit scared of the unknown might find his nerves are too dead to be much good to him or his allies. Besides, we can't leave. Not yet. Not until we found the nest and made sure there aren't going to be any more of these things.
This one must have been coming down the stairs for a reason. I don't think he was intentionally following us. Otherwise, why attack now instead of waiting for a better opportunity? We were just in the way. His home must be down farther in the redoubt.
A sheen of perspiration was plainly visible on Jorge's neatly trimmed mustache.
Okay, we find this home. And then?
And then, once JB's dismantled any of the remaining safety sec systems in this redoubt, so we don't get foamed or blasted by a fire retardant gas, we blast this entire redoubt. With whatever sick kind of genetics lab they have, precisely at ground zero.
Señor Calder, what I said earlier back in the camp, I take it back. I'm beginning to like the way your mind works.
Jack tapped Ryan on the shoulder.
Noise. Hear it?
Ryan held his breath and listened hard, but heard nothing more than the heartbeat in his inner ears. He looked down at his friend and shook his head. His hearing was good, but Jack's was even better.
I don't hear anything.
Well, I do.
Like Jack, Christy possessed uncanny abilities of sight and sound, and drew upon them now.
Can't identify what the sound is, though.
Jack didn't say anything else, choosing instead to kneel on the metal floor of the redoubt, placing his hands flat on the ground, turning his head sideways, his fine white hair extending outward from the crown of his skull, as he leaned his ear against the cool alloy for a closer listen. There were no other sounds, but the rhythmic in and out of their own individual breathing patterns. Far off, around a corner, Ryan could just catch the mechanical whir of the redoubt's vent system as it cycled air through the complex. Jack stayed in place, prone on the ground and listening hard, his eyes shut. All eyes were on him as he strained to listen.
What is it?
Jack opened an eye and peered up at Ryan.
Vibrations. Hot tail. Floor solid. Metal on rock.
JB shifted the M4000 scatter gun from the crook of his left arm to his right.
You don't really hear them. You just feel them.
Uh-huh.
Must be something big. Or lots of somethings big to cause enough of a vibration to be felt on flooring as solid as this.
Could be the Chupacabra's nest, Dad.
Still not picking up any vibes, Lover. Earlier on I could. Now there's nothing. Almost like I'm being jammed by the little bastards.
Jammed?
The term didn't seem to fit in with life functions. The redhead shot him a look, her fiery hair undulating about her face and shoulders.
Best word I could come up with for how I'm feeling.
The Chupacabras have long been rumored to possess the power to cloud the minds of men and women, Christy Roth. Make them feel weak, powerless, sick enough to vomit. Entire groups of people have been driven to nausea when faced with a single Chupacabras. Your special gifts might indeed be compromised in combating the good suckers.
Which way you think the vibrations were coming from, Jack?
The teen pondered Christy's question for a few seconds, then pointed at the left fork of the twin corridors.
Down there.
Soto stepped over and looked at a laminated wall map.
That passage leads to an area called Research and Development. Entry absolutely forbidden to all but B-12 cleared personnel.
It's a good thing we've got a B-12 clearance, isn't it?
The design of the lab was reminiscent of others they'd previously seen in military redoubts. Entryways provided by polished airlocks of silver chromium rings irised open and closed at the touch of a keypad, each hexagonal-shaped chamber leading into a massive central control area. That, in turn, looked either out and across an interior room or down on med-sterile arenas where the actual grunt work was performed, and in the case of genetic manipulation and the creation of mutants, where the products of said experiments were housed and caged. The lab area below was dim. All of the fluorescent strip lights that usually illuminated redoubts had either burned out or had been broken and removed. No movement could be seen among the darker shapes of the tables, cages, and other pieces of larger gear on the lab floor. One of the cages was close to the op window and allowed the group to see that it was made of clear armor glass on three sides and solid steel on top and bottom. A fourth wall was a mix of vanadium bars and a sliding armorglass portal. From his viewpoint, Ryan noted most of the other cells also appeared empty. The closest of the confinement cages showed damage. Claw marks. Massive panes of thick and clear armorglass kept the overlords separate from their charges. A series of interior vid cameras were mounted high along the ceiling. Black and white vid monitors that took the images seen by the cameras and played them back in the op booth were mounted in a wire rack next to the armorglass. At the moment, most of the monitor screens were dark. The two still functioning replayed views of what they could already see on the main lab floor below.
Yeah,
It was Jorge, down at the other end of the op window. Hell eyes gazed back at him through the glass. Then, unexpectedly, more eyes appeared as a mass of the chupacabras hovered inside, silent.